Good morning. It is always so good to look out on a Sunday morning and to see you here worshiping at St. John's, or for those who may be listening from home, to know that we are worshiping together as people of faith. Before we enter into our time of worship today, I want to share with you a few important announcements. And that is, first of all, to begin with a welcome to Ina Cho, our guest organist this morning. Andrew is out in Minnesota with family, and so we will pray for his safety as he enjoys time there and returns to us, but it's always so good to have Ina among us. In fact, I jokingly said to Ina, we're sort of making a weekend of it because we were together yesterday as we celebrated the life of Barb Gassler here at St. John's, and Ina did a beautiful job helping us with that. And a note that next Sunday, Pastor Addie and I will have the wonderful pleasure of having the Reverend Dr. Kimberly Striok join us in leading worship. Kim will be preaching and among us next week, and we will look forward to hearing from her. If you are a person who at times accesses our worship service on the internet, on our website, you will discover when you go to the website now, all you have to do to access the sermon is click on the YouTube button. You don't have to go hunting for a tab. You don't have to look anywhere else. Just go to the home page and click on the YouTube button. We wanted to make it as easy as possible for folks to access Sunday worship from week to week. And one other item to remind folks of, since we have not yet resumed providing nursery care out of concern for the wee little ones and the volunteers working with them, and families are understanding of that and in agreement, we wanted to remind families with little ones that should they be in worship with a little one who gets restless, wandering out into the narthex isn't a bad idea because you can hear the entire worship service out there. We've added speakers out in the narthex, and it makes it possible to hear the entire service while it's going on. So just keep that in mind. And a special thanks to all who have willingly donned masks once again as we try to get beyond the current surge in the virus. My hope and prayer is that this will not last long, but we appreciate all the efforts being made to help us get safely through this. And now I invite you to join with me in taking a slow and deep breath as we breathe in the presence of our God right here among us, wherever we may be. As we allow that presence to calm our spirit, to clear our minds, and as we breathe out what is weighing us down, troubling us, causing us to be distracted or dismayed, may God's presence among us be felt in ways that are unmistakably real as we worship now together. Amen. Communities don't just happen. They don't just miraculously appear. Communities are built, shaped. They emerge as a result of considerable and intentional hard work by both the leaders of the community and the members of the community. When God created the world and everything in it, God envisioned we would live together in community, that we would indeed be our sisters and brothers' keepers. When identifying what was most important for would-be followers, Jesus shared two great commandments with them. The first urging us to love God with the entirety of our being, and the second urging us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Communities that last are shaped by love. Love modeled by leaders who, like Jesus, have compassion for those they have been called to serve and to speak the truth, yet always do so with great love and great care. When a community is functioning at its best, each member of the community is as concerned about the well-being of others as they are about their own well-being. There is no every person for themselves mentality, because we recognize the truth of the statement, a boat cannot go forward if each rows his own way. A boat cannot go forward if each rows its own way. Shaping community is not a once and done operation. By the choices we make through thick and thin, in good times and bad, we are continually shaping this community of which we have been called to be a part. As we prepare now to enter into worship, we pray for the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to shape community in a way that honors the one who created us, the one we now worship, in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we confess our sins this morning, I invite you to join me in praying the prayer printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us as people of faith to live in harmony with one another, to be as concerned about the well-being of our neighbor as we are about our own well-being, and to overcome evil by doing good. That all sounds wonderful, but it is such hard work, and sometimes looking out for our own well-being is all we can muster the strength to do. Forgive us, loving God, for failing to try, and for assuming that imitating you is beyond the realm of possibility. You have created us in your image and filled us with the capacity to be tender-hearted, forgiving, and kind. Now fill us with the desire to demonstrate those life-giving qualities as we seek to be the beloved community you have created us to be. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we know God's promise is sure. When we confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. God forgives our sins and cleanses us from all that is not right. We're counting on that. Our lives depend on it. Claim this gift freely given and live knowing that it makes a difference. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading today is from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. And our next reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25, through chapter 5, verse 2. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your word may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And now, as always, a special message for our children. I don't think there's any in our midst, but I do know that some listen online at home, so we'll have a message for the children and the young at heart. About this time of year, I start seeing all sorts of back-to-school posts on Facebook. I know it's a little bit early for back-to-school posts, but they come every year. Lots of these posts are wonderful, encouraging reminders to all students out there, and all of us, really, about taking one day at a time and doing our best, about being good friends and choosing good friends and surrounding ourselves with positive people, and about being kind to one another, even when you're the only one choosing kindness. I came across one of my very favorite posts the other day, one I see year after year resurfacing, and I wanted to share it today because it happens to fit perfectly with our scripture lesson from the book of Ephesians. So, I want you all to imagine yourself holding a brand new full tube of toothpaste, like this one. Now imagine squeezing all of it out. I know you've always wanted to do that. Squeezing all of it out onto a plate, making sure to squeeze every last bit of it. Very satisfying, isn't it? Now imagine being told to put all of that toothpaste that you just squeezed out back in the tube. Go ahead, do you think you could do it? I don't think so. It's impossible to undo what we have just done. No matter how good it felt to squeeze all that toothpaste out, it's impossible to get back in the tube. And this is the lesson that every year is posted on Facebook. The toothpaste is just like the words that come out of our mouths. The words we say matter. And just like the toothpaste, once those words leave our mouths, we can't take them back. Each day, each time we interact with someone, whether they are a friend or a stranger or even someone we don't get along with, we have the choice to use our words to hurt or to heal, to beat down or to build up, to make fun of or to encourage, to isolate or to inspire, to laugh at or to love. Even if they feel really good saying them out loud, it's not always a good choice. The words from our scripture passage are words written by Paul in a letter he wrote to a group of people called the Ephesians. In this part of his letter, he's telling them how they should deal with their neighbors, especially when we're angry or annoyed. He writes, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? I know Paul didn't say anything about putting toothpaste back in a tube, but I do think he would appreciate the visual. What he does invite us to do and to think about is the same thing he invited his readers to think about a really long time ago, and that is using our words to build people up rather than to tear them down, to fill their hearts rather than empty them, to make someone's life a little bit better rather than a little bit more challenging, especially when we're angry or when it's the least popular thing to do. Reading Paul's letter, it seems like we humans have been trying to do and say the right thing for a really long time. And the good news is, you get to try again every single day. It's true that the words that you say you can't take back, and we will make mistakes and say and do the wrong thing from time to time. But it's also true that each new day you get another opportunity to choose the words that come out of your mouth. You get to decide if you're going to be a life giver or a person known for gentleness and compassion. Hopefully, this toothpaste, which you use every day, will remind you that it's best to choose words that we won't want to take back. You get to choose kindness, and you will never regret choosing kindness. Let's take time to pray now, and then we will end in saying our Lord's Prayer together. God, thank you for giving us the gift of words and the ability to use them to express our thoughts and our feelings. Help us to treat the words we say and share with others like the gift that they are, to gift others with them. Help us to choose kindness and love, even when it's difficult. May the visual of toothpaste squeezed from a tube continue to remind us that while we can't take our words back, we always have the opportunity to make a better choice. Help us as we do just that today and in all the days ahead. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who used his words to teach and to pray with us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
I invite you now to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, we need a word from you. We know that you are present wherever we are. So, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, that we might hear you clearly in the midst of my words, and so that we might have the courage to act upon your truth. Amen. Today's epistle lesson from Ephesians touches on a message, a subject that is near and dear to my heart, a subject I address, quite frankly, every chance I get, and it is the power and importance of our words. Pastor Addy and I are clearly on the same wavelength, although I don't have my toothpaste tube with me this morning. Now, biblical scholars have debated over the years the authorship of Ephesians. Most feel that Paul was the one who wrote this little letter, although some argue it may have been one of his protégés. And some wonder if it was sent to just one church, the church in Ephesus, or was a letter that went to many churches. But what the scholars have never had to debate about is the importance of the truths contained in this little letter. A letter that challenges us to set the bar high as followers of Christ, to be imitators of God, not imitators of what is going on in the world around us. In the New Revised Standard Version of this particular passage of Scripture, the heading for today's verses is Rules for a New Life. And Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, The Message, heads the passage with, The old way has to go. What exactly has to go? Well, the author of Ephesians spells it out for us. He starts out by saying, put away falsehood. No more lies. No more pretense. Speak the truth to your neighbor. Why? We are all members of one another. I'm reminded of an old African proverb that recalls to memory, a canoe does not know who the leader is. When it turns over, everyone gets wet. Yeah, we are all in this together. We are connected. It doesn't matter who's in charge and who's in the boat rowing. We are members of one another. Therefore, we need to speak the truth to one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Well, we're all pretty good at the first part, right? It's the second part that is challenging. And those two go together because, well, for starters, it is important to be angry at times. There are things to be angry about. Injustice, inequity, bad treatment, people being hurt, those going without enough. Those are things to get angry and upset about, but we need to make sure that our anger does not then turn into actions that are harmful or hurtful to others. Be angry, but do not sin, which is why in other parts of the New Testament we read the reminder, be slow to anger. Be slow to speak, but be quick to listen. The writer goes on, let no evil talk come out of your mouths. Evil is that which does not build up, that which does not give grace to those who hear. Yes, what we say matters. How we say it matters. When we say it matters. Words have incredible power to heal, to destroy. One of my very favorite verses is one that I remind myself of every day because of the importance of our words. from Psalm 19, the final verse, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, they go together. Because let's face it, what we're thinking, what we stew about, eventually comes out of our mouths, whether we want it to or not. Looking at the letters of the Apostle Paul, on numerous occasions he talks about the importance of our words and goes so far as to point out that what goes into our mouths is not nearly as important as what comes out of our mouths. In other words, what we eat, while that may matter a little bit, what we say matters much more. And in the little letter of James, chapter 3, 12 verses of scripture are devoted to talking about the destructive power of the tongue that needs to be bridled even as a horse is bridled. We say that silence is golden. In fact, as you enter our sanctuary, those words are on the glass above the door. Yes, it is good to be silent in church so that we listen for our God, but not silent always, because in our world, sadly, some have been silenced by the powerful, by those who don't want them to speak their truth, and that kind of silence is not good. Over the course of the past couple of weeks, I have enjoyed watching the Summer Olympics, as I suspect many of you have as well. But I have to make a confession. As I watch, my focus is not on the scores, or the record-breaking numbers, or the distances, or the times. I have very little interest in the current medal count, and have no idea which country has the most gold. What draws me in is the stories of the athletes. What they had to do, the obstacles they had to surmount to get to where they are. Who are these athletes when they are not performing? I was drawn in by the story of the 14-year-old Chinese diver, who in the midst of her very disciplined athletic life every day spends hours caring for her very ill mother. Or the runner from the U.S. who was raised by a single mom, grew up being bullied by the kids around him because he was dyslexic and hyperactive, but undaunted because of the support of his mom. And I've been deeply moved by how so many of these young athletes have had the courage to use their voice to speak up and speak out about things that have mattered to them, at great risk to themselves in some cases and their future careers. They have spoken out about injustice. They have spoken out about inequity. They have spoken out advocating for the rights of LGBTQ people. They have spoken out about the importance of mental health. I was drawn in by the story of a U.S. runner, Allison Felix, who almost died giving birth to her child just a couple of years ago, and learned that the condition that she suffered from is far more common among Black women. And Black women often die from this condition because they don't have adequate health care. Allison Felix had adequate health care, but it prompted her to speak up and to speak out, and now to fight vigorously for equity, for health care, for women of color. And of course, we all heard the words of Simone Biles. Acknowledged to be the greatest gymnast of all time, stepped away from the lure of Olympic gold to preserve her mental health. A courageous act, given that we live in a culture that quite frankly prizes winning over everything else. Athletes are viewed as commodities, not as people, and often at great cost to these individuals. Our words matter. How we use them matters. Our words must be motivated by love, words that are intended to help and not hurt, to heal and not harm. Scripture is clear. Our words are supposed to, in the words of the writer of Ephesians, give grace to those who hear. To give grace to those who hear. Which prompts me to conclude we need to beware of those whose words do not do that. We need to beware of those whose words are full of threats and bravado. We need to beware of those whose words are full of deception and half-truths, because half-truths are no truths at all. We need to beware of those whose words are not motivated by love, because those words are noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. I will always remember a colleague in ministry a number of years ago saying to me that his goal was, when it came to preaching, to learn to speak less but say more. And I thought that is a worthy goal to work toward. And I've sought to try to do so, choosing my words carefully, making sure that when I speak difficult truth, I do so in ways that can be heard, and making sure there is always white space, pause, so both I as speaker and you as listener can listen for God. The writer of Ephesians goes on to say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not break the Holy Spirit's heart. Put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, malice. I love that description. Put it away. And those words are such strong words. We don't use them much in everyday language, but they are powerful words. Malice, the intention to injure or harm another. Specific ill will, put it away. Wrath, extreme or violent rage, put it away. Bitterness, a feeling of intense animosity or hatred, hostility, put it away. Christians on both sides of the political aisle, hurling verbal vitriol at those who do not espouse their particular point of view, trouble me deeply. I read social media posts and I find myself shaking my head and in despair. What about these arrogant, malicious words that I hear people throwing at each other reflects the light of Christ? What about these words reflects the humility Jesus embodied, or in any way looks like what God had in mind when God invited us to be imitators of him? God, who so loved the world and everyone in it, that he chose to come to dwell among us in the person of Jesus. Put away malice, wrath, bitterness, wrangling, and be tender-hearted, kind to one another. I remember learning this last verse of chapter 4 by heart as a young person, and I am thankful I have never forgotten it. In King James English, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "The purpose of life is not just to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate. To have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well." I've often said that person is a success who has lived well, loved often, and laughed much, who has gained the respect of adults and the love of little children, who has left their place on this earth better than they found it. It is hard to leave our place on this earth better than we found it if what comes out of our mouths hurts and damages others. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Rachel Held Evans, a gifted young theologian and author, wrote these words shortly before her untimely death. Imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe, but no one is comfortable. Imagine if every church became a place where we told the truth to one another in love. We might just create sanctuary. My prayer, my friends, is that we will be such a church, that we will put away those things that get in the way of bringing grace to those who hear what we say and witness what we do. Putting away wrath, hostility, wrangling, malicious words, all in the name of being right or needing to be right, putting those things away, and yes, speaking truth, but doing it with love, tenderness, care. May this place, may this community of faith, and may we as people of faith be places of safe refuge, sanctuary, where God's grace is felt and heard and experienced in ways that are unforgettably real. Amen. As we prepare to dedicate this morning's offering, I remind you, and you may be seated.
As we prepare to enter into a time of prayer this morning, I, of course, want to lift up some joys and concerns that have been shared with us or scoped out by us in the course of this week. A few joys to share and a few concerns as well. Several birthdays this week. Actually, I think they were all yesterday. Steve Bossert celebrated a birthday yesterday, as did Jenny Favada and Bridget Fitzpatrick. So lots of celebrating to do in our midst. And today, Dave and Mary Livesey celebrate 50 years of marriage. So we celebrate with Dave and Mary. Yes. A few concerns to lift up. Carol Lors asked for prayers for her nephew, Aaron, who is 14 years old, who had brain surgery this past week. And Tim Ahrens asked for prayers for his cousin, Sonny, who is dealing with some serious health concerns in New Jersey. Lots of joys and concerns, of course, on each of our hearts and minds as we come to this place and to this time of prayer. So I invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together. Let's pray. God, time and time again, you remind us that our relationship with you is directly related to our relationship with those around us. You teach us to put away bitterness and anger. You model for us tender-hearted kindness, forgiveness, and mercy. It's not easy, God. So we ask that you strengthen us with your grace this day, that as we join with you and with one another in prayer, we may truly offer forgiveness, love, compassion, just as Christ offered to us. God, we live in a time of hostility and fear and struggle. There is a pressure to pick sides, to offer our opinion, to fight back with fear and hatred. We forget that you are with us at all times, offering us another way of peace and hope. You have asked us, O God, to be instruments of peace and justice, purveyors of hope and healing to all who we meet. To do this, God, we need your help and your strength. And we come to you now asking for that we might reflect your love and compassion, that we might give grace to all whom we meet. It is in that spirit of compassion, O God, that spirit of connectedness, that we pray for those who are lifted up among us and those on our own hearts and minds who are in need of God's healing love and peaceful presence. We pray, O God, this day for Steve and Jenny and Bridget, that as they celebrate their birthdays, they might know your sustaining presence in their lives. We lift up Dave and Mary and give thanks for them and for their 50 years of marriage. God, we ask that you surround Aaron and Sonny with your presence of healing strength, that their bodies might feel you surrounding them, that they might feel our prayers lifting them up. We take time now, O God, to pray for all who are on our hearts and minds this day. Hear our prayers, O God. You have taught us the importance of serving one another, building one another up as we imitate you. We ask that you create in us hearts that are eager to pray, to serve, and to witness to your love. Open our lives, our hearts, our hands this day, and pour your healing mercies into them, that we might then offer them out to those we love, to those we don't, to all people. We pray all these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Now I think it's my turn. I was just a little overeager there. We're going to be dedicating our offering in just a moment, but I wanted to take a moment also to, as always, thank you for your continued generosity as we seek to continue to do God's work. And for the many folks who are worshiping from home and who faithfully, week in and week out, journey to the church to drop off their offering, we are deeply appreciative because that faithfulness has sustained us through an incredibly challenging time. Your generosity is just amazing, and for that we give thanks as we take time now to dedicate these gifts and offer them up to God. O God, every good and perfect gift comes from you. We are so aware of that when we gather to worship, when we think about the precious gift of life, when we pause to give thanks for all that we enjoy every single day. For these gifts, we say thank you once again, and as we offer our gifts to do your work, bless them. Guide us every step of the way, that the work we do will be your work, and that the way in which we do it will be your way. May the lives that we touch with these gifts be lives that experience your grace and love, because we have chosen to imitate you. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we go out into the world today, my prayer is that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts will indeed be pleasing to God, our rock and our redeemer, the one who sustains us, the one who goes with us. Hold on to that. And as you do, may God's light surround you. May God's love enfold you. May God's power protect you. And may God's peace sustain you, now and always. Amen.